Okay, sorry, Bev, go ahead.
Hi,
Hi.
hello. Thanks, Amy. You're, releasing for all of us, so thank
Yeah,
you.
wonderful.
So as I'm looking at what you were talking about with is there something to think about? That's something to some degree I think I've been practicing, and it's been super powerful. There are times when I get into a little stuck where I think some emotion has broken through from something. And then at that point, when I try to go into this, is there something to think about? It feels a little bit more like denial because now the emotion has showed up. And it's kind of like at the point where I guess, the first lesson you introduced where I could investigate. What is already here now, so just like I guess being intimately involved with the illusion, for me it's my daughter where I'm very much intimately involved on a constant basis. So it's like it becomes, the functional thinking and things that you just have to do versus the thinking of, kind of worry thinking and projecting and all that kind of stuff. So I guess my question is, how can I not really discernment between those two? Because I know when I've gotten involved, on a head level, but when there's something that is that intimately involved in almost your daily constant basis, is there one better than the other, or do you think, like, how can that be applied in a more consistent way?
I think firstly to recognize that there are going to be times that you struggle to apply teaching. Like for all of us, there's times where it's easy and times where it's really not. And we might not even remember to, and we're kind of caught up in the middle of it. And that is, with your daughter, it's going to be, there's going to be times where there's emotion and there's a lot of thinking going on around it. And you might find that you just can't then. You just can't right in the middle of that then. You can't remember. You just don't seem to have access to a question that would help. So in those moments, if you can accept that that is just how it is in that moment and then work on it at a later time when you've got a little more clarity, a little bit more balance back in that. Then you'll be able to sense in the body which way feels the best right now to look at that. It's really okay to look at what just happened an hour ago with the clarity, more clarity, and go back to what you were feeling in that time. And you can probably sense, and it was exactly the same for me with my children, that I really still feel on some level that they're separate to me. I really do. I really, obviously, like my body's like shouting at me and all these thoughts about them. So we can work on an acceptance of that. There's going to be some areas where we let go of separation really easily. Why don't we let go here? Or as we were just talking about in a romantic relationship, why is that area harder for us seemingly? And it's really because we have a sense of responsibility for those beings, don't we? As a parent, it comes inherent with this being is my responsibility. So it doesn't even seem to make sense to let go or even apply the teaching in that area, which is why we don't find we can even remember it sometimes, when you're right in the middle of it. And so if understanding why there is resistance to it in that particular time to the teaching, to applying it, it does it make sense even from mind's perspective to realize that your daughter isn't separate to you? Absolutely not from mind's perspective. Because mind says you won't be able to be a good parent to her then if you push through this separation here as well or something, whatever it's saying. So just coming back in calmer moments to look at the general tendency to separate yourself from some things, some beings still, and looking at just gentle inquiry as to why that is. Okay, I can see in my life, I really feel this being as separate to me. really, really, I can feel it really viscerally. This area of my life, I've already let go of it. I just, it's quite a joyous way when I experience this person or something, you know. So getting a handle on not blaming yourself for not being able to apply it, of course, is crucial. And then you're going to come back to clarity quicker so that you can then feel the way forward. And you might find even the right question just pops up spontaneously then. Why do I still feel she's separate? Why am I still holding on to that? Not mind's way of asking, but really, why is that? Let's look at this, you know, kind of curious inquiry inside will come up. Mm-hmm. If you just sort of notice, there's probably some sense that you should be able to and should have already let go of this here, right?
Yeah, I feel like there's, I feel like I reach a level of acceptance and then it shows up on another, like there's more to let go, there's more to let go, there's more, you know, it feels that way, that there's like this stepping up of letting go. And, you know, I don't know if that's why it's showing up in that way, but it does feel like there's more to let go.
When I was sort of, things would be, you know, relatively good with me and the kids. And it was like, oh, that's a reflection of I'm letting go of the separation. And I'm really getting there now. I'm getting something, and then something had happened, blow up, you know, and, oh, you know, so here we, and I had to dig deeper. And I could see as this happened again and again, that there was something that just didn't want to let go here. Mm-hmm. Because it was saying, you can't let go here of the idea of separation. You just, how can you even be a parent if you don't feel separate to your child? Is that even possible? Like, because I'd not experienced it before, you know, it seemed too much like a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. So something was really holding on, even though I was doing my best to let go. I just really tried to make friends with that inside that was really resisting it right in this area of my life. Mm-hmm. I can apply it everywhere else, but not here, not this one place.
Yeah. Right.
And that's because you're such a good mom already. You're sort of desperate to make sure that you're doing the right thing here by letting go. Mm. Yeah. And that makes sense, doesn't it? It's intelligent to check it out first and see, is this a good thing to do, to let go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you've just softening that resistance, maybe statementing around it, you know, that it's okay that it's still coming up in this area. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I'm doing it wrong. It's just a certain areas of my life where it really seems to make sense to keep thinking about this particular being or this particular thing. And we go around like that for a little while, don't we?
Yes.
So the more you let go, something else kind of, there's this tug of war going on inside, isn't there? No, I'm not giving it back, you know, I'm not letting go. So just kind of understanding that process inside yourself will make it all easier. You're not judging yourself for it. When you can let go completely, you will, and not a second before.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And it's okay. Wherever you're at right now, it's okay with it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
If there's going to be any area of our life where it's difficult to go beyond separation, or seems to be, it would be this, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So... I totally remember it. So,
mm-hmm. Thank you.
But it is possible. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Okay,
Michael.
Hi.
Hi.
Again.
Again.
So I'm listening to this, and what I'm reflecting on is, and seeing is that, what my mind is telling me is that I get a little insight into, is that I think I'm fundamentally fearful of everything. Like, definitely people that shows up.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing or feeling that as we've been talking this morning, that if everything is the self, that I'm afraid of myself, I'm afraid of awakening, I'm afraid of, you know, and I know I've written in a, like, I would wake up in the mornings and stuff like that. And I've had a shift in that, because even you talking today and explaining that you need less sleep, rather than staying in bed and like, what's wrong? What's going on? I've been getting up and actually getting so much done. It's like, oh, there's nothing wrong here. I'm just not tired anymore. And
yeah,
I can get, so I had a shift in that, and I'm noticing it in clients that although I still feel the fear, like things have shifted, like people are being nicer and stuff like that. I did have a big row with my husband yesterday, and or the other day, and it was very like, oh my, like I was yelling. And as Amy was beautifully, heartfully sharing, I too was raised with a lot of anger. And so I got a whole story around that. So I don't even like to feel that as well. But there's something really coming up for me. So I just really got the clarity how afraid I am of everything. And what would be the question? I've done, am I really safe, not safe? And I've had big shifts with that, but is there something like to hone in there?
For me, this question, is there anything to think about, was powerful. And then it kind of morphed into, is there anything to be scared of? You know, which was just, I can't tell you what a game changer that was for me, because it was just cutting away at this assumption that, and I recognized, like you said, I remember clearly recognizing I'm scared of everything. You know, I'm just sitting having a cup of tea with my mom and I'm scared in case she criticizes me. Of course she doesn't, but there's always this kind of, you know, sort of hands off, reality is over there and I'll stay here, thanks. You know, very cautious in my approach to life and everything, self-protective. And it was really simpler when I saw that, because I could stop trying to work on it with different beings and things. I mean, it was showing up in particular ways. I'm scared of not having enough money, scared of dying and all that stuff. But I could really work on a very general, simple way. Is there anything to be scared of? And of course, my mind was screaming at me, yes, of course there is. You know, but this question really came out of the one that I've shared today. So maybe there's something inside, you can fine tune this question into what you feel. Because that is the assumption. There's something outside of me that I can't control, or someone. And therefore, it might do or say or be something that I can't, that isn't good for me, or, you know, and of course, ultimately, it might bring me to an end, my existence to an end somehow, you know. So that's the root of fear, isn't it? This idea that there's something that can affect me. With separation comes great fear, you know, always, always. How aware of that fear we are is you know, different for each one of us. But if you can kind of see, oh my God, I'm scared of everything, then you can start to really question that in a general way. And you start to be able to be more authentic then, instead of assuming the role that feels safest in that moment, you know, and then having an explosion when you can't hold on to that role and you end up, you know, sort of, whether it's an argument or anger or something. That, does that question feel important to you? Can you find a question that feels important?
Yeah, no, I think that, I guess it's really to go in and, is there anything that can really harm me?
Yeah. That's a powerful one, isn't it?
And I guess, like, it's interesting, because people can say and do things and things can happen. And, you know, I get impacted by it, but what hurts me the most is actually when I feel that anger. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I feel the separation then, like I push away. And so that's
here's
what
here's the idea, and I had it myself, that anger is dangerous. And you experienced that, didn't you? That it's going to explode out of me and I'll do or say something that I can't take back or whatever. So when I really looked at anger, I realized I was scared of it. Another thing I was scared of. So when I worked through that, the actual anger itself dissipated very, very quickly. But it was because it was like this thing that I'd given power to, that had this capacity to just completely take me over and control me. And then you act from that place. And we all know what happens then. But so if you recognize maybe it's exploding sometimes because I'm scared of it, as a reflection of the fact I've given it some power that it doesn't really have. I've given it my permission to have an effect upon me. And if you sort of undo that, it begins to... We all fear certain things, and some of what we fear is quite surprising. You know, there's obvious things like death that we fear, but most of all, I was scared of my own emotions. You know, they're just... Even bliss, I was scared of bliss because it would be too strong and I couldn't cope with it. Sounds crazy, I know, but... But when you feel that inside, actually, I don't need to be scared of this thing. I'm only... Fear's coming from my ideas about this thing. And if it's anger, what ideas do I have about that? That it's going to be out, it's going to just, you know, some volcano eruption or something.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen destructive actions or results from times I've been angry in my life, but I've also seen it out there in my life where I've made huge judgment calls against it.
Yeah.
And so anger definitely, and emotion, but definitely anger is something I am definitely. And then I'm angry at that person for, you know, making.
And around we go again.
Yeah. And it's like, and yeah.
But it's just back to lesson two here, isn't it? I've had this experience with this thing because of what I've thought about it, not the other way around. Had this experience with anger because I've had these ideas about it that I'm only just recognizing now. And as I really question these ideas, I'll start to experience anger in a very different way. You know, for one, perhaps it might not surge so suddenly. It might just be something much more manageable, that I'm not sort of drawn into acting from that place, talking from that place then.
Okay. Thank you.
Good, good. Good to talk to you. Okay, Videa.
Hello. Hi. I'm just so grateful when you were talking about lesson four, and I didn't realize that that's exactly what I've been living, seeing. Whatever I look at is just here. It's not, yeah. It's just always here. Even the appearances are here, not really moving, not really changing. Well, they change, but they don't change into something else. It's almost like something's just here, and then it's looking like this here.
Yeah, and then it looks like something else, and then it looks like something else.
Yeah, and I couldn't see, well, where does it come from and where does it go? And it's like... It doesn't, I can't find where it comes and where it goes. It's just here appearing. Even that I don't know. But everything you were talking about was what I was recognizing. And looking at something and seeing it as this, what the belief looks like, you know. And even that falls away. Because then just goes quiet. So even that, it's just this constant recognition that I don't know. But just the recognition of what's here, always here, and what can't touch that. Yeah, I don't know.
And changing appearance is not the same as something actually changing. You know, it's changing its shape, changing the way it looks like. It's not actually ever changed. It's just fundamental in the difference that makes to our experience. Because then I'm not going to resist anything changing appearance. If I don't really believe it was ever actually created, why would I mind when it seems to change the what it looks like? You know, well, why would I desperately try to grab something, believing it will make me feel better than the previous thing? It's just not true if I can see that they are the same essence appearing two different ways.
Yeah. I think that's the, just like you said, the essence. It's just one essence. Colorful, not colorful. Tasteful, not tasteful. But there's still something that is aware right here of all of it, you know. And even though it's not arising out of me, it's just all me. I don't know, but there is something that just knows, and it's undeniable. I like what you said, you know, even the appearance of something deepening or something clearer, you know, it's always, even that, you know, seems to take that shape, or there's an insight comes, then even that scene, you know, it's just everything's just seen as it is.
Gradually the appearance is changing from a very unenlightened being to a very enlightened being. Nothing's actually occurring in reality. The appearance is changing, isn't it? That's all that's happening.
Yeah. And like you said, everything becomes really quiet because I can't. What's there to question? What's there to believe in? What's there not to believe in? That's happening. Well, even that, see, I'll be quiet.
It's wonderful that you're seeing deeper, you know, that the difference between something actually being here and it seeming to be here. It's just huge, isn't it? When I really get that, it's so much clearer. And I won't be able to suffer, you know.
Yeah. It's so perfect.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Appreciate everything.
What wonderful family we've got here. Huh? Okay. Last but not least is Karen.
Hi.
And then we'll go to Sergio for the prayer. So when you're ready, Karen.
First of all, I wanted to give a shout out to Amy. Thank you for the gift of that segment there that we can refer to. That was beautiful. Appreciate that.
Very brave as well.
Yeah. So when you were going through the questions, really I was thinking, well, kind of at the core, I think that the word that was coming was attention. Mm-hmm. I think that I can direct my attention. You know, just even these ideas of the body getting clearer. I was just thinking with attention, you know how sometimes, that image of touching and then the air and then a ripple coming out, like sometimes a person may say something and I feel like I fall for it. Like it may be something that's either new to me or something I've heard over and over. Like even COVID wasn't even a thought, you know, prior to 2 years ago. And then, you know, you can see how all these things, how we totally change our world, our lives to adjust to a new word, a new thought. And it just this whole idea of engaging with something or touching it. Like my brother sent me an email this morning and he wanted me to look at it. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm really not sure I want to engage with this, but he's going to be asking me, you know. And so the noumenon, just I can see this equanimity, and you know that you don't fall for anything because you're not identified with the one who can direct attention. So just this whole idea of self-fulfilling prophecy, that if I think about it or engage with it, it will happen. So can you help with that?
Yeah, it's causality really that you're talking about, isn't it? That if I have this email I don't want to look at, my very feeling about it is already setting my experience, isn't it, with what that's going to be. It's going to be a negative experience to some degree if I'm resisting looking at it, whatever it says or doesn't say. So in the recognition that this email is the self, it's a strange thing to say, but I can read that and have the same equanimity. I don't need to be knocked off balance by anything when I recognize whatever it's talking about does not exist outside of me, separate to me. That whatever it's talking about are synonyms for my own self, the self. Then I can read it with a very different experience inside. I don't need to lose that equanimity that you said so well. You know, that it's just, if this somebody suggests something might happen and what we're going to do if this happens, it's only really suggesting that we might feel a different way because this thing would happen. But if we're well grounded in that recognition that everything is the self, whatever experience we go through will feel the same to us, won't it? It'll feel just as peaceful inside. Not to say that there won't be other emotions present also at the same time, but the dominant feeling will be this peace and contentment that comes from absolutely knowing I am absolutely safe. There is nothing to hurt me, as Michael was saying. There's nothing that can harm me at all. And just recognizing our tendency to think about things first and experience them later. But then we experience our thoughts about that thing rather than the actual thing. It's just noticing that and starting to undo it, isn't it, where we can. Right. What if I just go to this email with a completely open mind and see what happens, or go meet this person with no assumptions about what it's going to be like or anything.
Right. Like, yeah. Just even asking myself, oh, well, what are the assumptions? Well, just even underneath that is time, you know, that there's a person who can adjust attention in some way. Yeah. I guess the other question I had was about this idea of a relaxed body equaling the noumenon. Like whoever is attending to the body, it just seems like all tight bodies and awake bodies and asleep bodies, it's just all noumenon, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I come to recognize that, my body will relax a lot more because it's not in the fight or flight mechanism that we tend to live in as human beings to whatever degree. This idea that there's something that could hurt me is just so pervasive in our consciousness, or someone that can hurt me, either mentally, emotionally, or physically, or financially, or whichever way we experience harm. It just constantly has this effect upon the body that it's ready for action almost, you know, and it never gets a chance to recover from that until we really see through this. It's just really how much we've seen in that with clarity inside, and then our body and mind begins to reflect that relaxed. For me, there's just a lot of tension inside my muscles and everywhere that had to be, that began to be released as I saw this deeper and deeper. This very one idea that there's something outside of me has been the root of all of my fear. And in the very first line and verse of the Avadhuta Gita, it says, and I'm paraphrasing, the desire for non-duality arises in man to save him from great fear. Of course, women too, but, you know. And it really is like that. This great fear comes from this core idea of two, doesn't it? Me and other. And it's just as easily undone when you see that there is no other than it could never be. A self is very good at disguising itself, but it never actually became anything else.
Well, thank you for this month's lesson. Beautiful.
Wonderful. Good, good. Okay, so Sergio, if you are ready, would you be so kind as to read the beautiful prayer for us?
Yes, Ellen, thank you. Sneha Vijaya Dharani, Om Namo Bhagavate Sarva Trilokya Prativisistaya Buddhaya Te Namaha Tadyata Om Brum 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 Shodaya Shodaya Vishodaya Vishodaya Asama Sama Samanta Bhavasis Paranagate Gagana Swabhava Vishude Jniya Vijaya Parishude Avisinchantu Mam Sarvatatagata Sugata Varavachana Mirta Vishakehi Mahamudra Mantrapadai Om Ahara Ahara Ayusam Dharani Shodaya Shodaya Vishodaya Vishodaya Gagana Swabhava Vishude Ujniya Vijaya Parishude Sahasra Rasmi Samchurita Sarva Tathagata Balokite Sat Paramita Paripurini Sarva Tathagata Vashabhumi Pratishtiti Sarva Tathagata Irdaya Dishtana Dishtite Om Muni Muni Mahamudra Varakaya Samhatana Samparishude Sarva Karma Barana Vishude Pratinirvartaya Mamayur Vishude Sarvatatagata Samaya Dishtana Dishtite Om Muni Muni Mahamuni Vimuni Vimuni Mahavimuni Mati Mati Maha Mati Mamati Sumati Tatabhuta Koti Parishude Vishputa Vishude Hehe Jaja Jaja Vijaya Vijaya Smara Smara Spura Spura Sparaya Sparaya Sarva Mudra Buddha Dishtana Distite Om Shude Shude Bude Bude Vaira Vaira Mahavaira Vaira Garbe Vaira Vaira Garbe Vaira Rod Bhave Vaira Sambhave Vaira Varini Vairam Bhavatu Nama Sariram Sarva Sadvanam Chakaya Parishudera Bhavantu Mama Cha Sarvada Gati Parishudedam Cha Sarvatatagata Chamam Sama 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 Vasayantu Om Bude Bude Side Side Budaya Budaya Vibudaya Vibudaya Muchaya Muchaya Vimuchaya Vimuchaya Shudaya Shudaya Vishudaya Vishudaya Samanta Muchaya Muchaya Samanta Rashmi Parishude Sarvatatagata Yadaya Distana Distita Om Mudre Mudre Mahamudre Mahamudre Madra Mantrapadaya Swaha Om Brum Swaha.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen.
You might have to start doing that at the end, and I don't have to speak afterwards. Okay. Let's finish with a group statement process for those that want to join in. So if you want to, just raise your hand and let's do statements concerning for the well-being of all beings. Let's through our statements for the well-being of all human beings. It just feels the right thing to do today. So we have Sarah. So we'll see how many hands go up. So I'll start this time with a statement of, I know that as the universe moves, it is moving towards well-being for all. So, Sarah, whenever you're ready.
And may all beings know that their true nature is deep peace. Or actually, may all beings know that our true nature is deep peace.
Lovely, thank you. Zoe?
Notice the absolute kindness of everything appearing for us.
Lovely, thank you. Bo?
I am grateful for the opportunity to embrace all that I am in all my bodies.
Wonderful. Okay, Karen?
One peace, always, everywhere.
Lovely, thank you. Caroline?
The nature of all beings is love.
Lovely. Natasha? Okay, maybe we lost, Natasha's hand has gone down. Okay, so we'll go to Bev.
I can recognize myself in everything.
Lovely, thank you. We'll go around one more time. My statement is, my powerful love embraces all that is and transforms it. Okay, Sarah?
And may we rejoice in emptiness dancing.
Thank you. Zoe?
Love is flushing through you.
Wonderful. Very literally sometimes. Bo, when you're ready.
Thank you.
lovely.
And Karen?
The sculptor of infinite love is free, always here.
Lovely. Caroline?
There is only love.
I've got a Beatles song in my head now. And Bev, when you're ready.
The self is this moment.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you all very, very much. Powerful session. And let's just finish by to send Amy some love. And we've all been in that situation. We've all been in that place. So thank you very, very much for being here with me, being part of this family. And just a quick reminder that the Q&A session is next weekend because we're in Scotland after that for the retreat. So it's a bit quicker than we would usually have it. So if you do have anything you want to send in, please do try to send it in by Friday if possible, using the contact form that you would normally send things in. So thank you so, so much. Namaste.
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 Thank you. Thank you.
Namaste. Thank you.
A big hug to